WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively into June, and the Orioles are still scuffling away. But I tell you what, I got a little Royal Farms coffee in the cup here. It's my Cole Roofing mug. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road, presented by the Maryland Lottery, in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation, who also gave me a nice shirt for the internet. 2 for 2 on the windows. Buy two, get two free. That's going on all through June. We'll be telling you about that at Window Nation and our friends at Goodwill. I have my little Goodwill truck. This is the same truck that's going to come and get all the extra junk that I didn't know I had, that I've got in boxes, not in bags, because it didn't fit in bags. Luke Jones is here. I want to talk baseball, man. We've done a lot of Lamar. We've done a lot of OTAs. You'll be in Owings Mills this week, next week. We got mandatory happening and all that. And then football's going to go away, and baseball's all we're going to have for a little while here. I'm doing the Crab Cake Tour in August, but I'm going to be all around the city in June and July. The Rutschman thing's fascinating, but I think from a local standpoint and where they are, when they win games 10 to nothing and they win 3 or 4 in Boston, you know, you notice this in season, whether they're not going to be a contender this year. That's obvious. But you want to see these steps that we talked about all offseason, and certainly talked about in early April when they kicked things off, which is, can they be a better team in June than they were in April? Can they be a better team in July than they were in June? Well, here we go. It's June 1st, and they're into a new month. And I think there might be some promise that they could have a 500 month at some point soon. Maybe.
Yeah, I think that's really reasonable. I think I'm being reasonable.
Look at that.
I thought that was perfectly reasonable
right now.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, we're talking about an organization, a team that over its last three full 162 game seasons lost 108 or more games. I mean, that's where you're talking about. You're not just talking about run of the mill bad. You're talking about Cleveland Browns historically terrible kind of bad. So we've seen improvement this year, and I think there needs to be some middle ground here. We're still talking about a last place team. We're still talking about a team that's on pace to lose over 90 games. So we're not talking about doing cartwheels here or contention or anything like that. But what do you want to see in 2022? You want to see progress. And I said to you early and before the season even started, for me, the real test is going to be, is this team better later in the season than it is at the beginning of the season? And time will tell. I mean, we're just talking about passing Memorial Day, which is, you know, for many people, the first really meaningful checkpoint in terms of you have to stop saying it's early. It's not a third of the way through the season. But you are seeing some improvement. And I think what's interesting about looking at this team, you know, just looking in the context of where they are right now, not even talking about where they're going in the future or Grayson Rodriguez, who I think we're going to see soon because he is, you know, he's shoving a triple A. And at some point you got to start asking, is he being challenged enough there? You know, after, you know, 7 shutout innings, his most recent outing, I think he's getting very close, if not imminent to arriving in Baltimore. But just looking at where they stand now through their first 50 games, winning 42% of the time, 21 and 29. You know, they've won 7 of 12 since they had that losing streak in the middle of May. So they are playing better. But you look at the statistics and you look at them from a position player standpoint, who's really having a great season? I'd say Austin Hayes is close to that territory. He's having a really nice season. Like he's playing really well. And you know what he gives you in terms of outfield defense, you know, whether he's playing the more expansive left field at Camden Yards or whether he's playing right field at Fenway. You know, you know that he's going to give you that. He's swung the bat really well. But you look at them up to down, and Mancini's had a terrific May. Even if he's not hitting for a ton of power, he's certainly hitting for average. But you look at, you know, Cedric Mullins not having a great season so far. Ryan Mountcastle, you know, swung the bat, you know, did some things, as far as to wrap up the series win at Fenway, but, you know, not having a great season on the heels of what he did last year.
He's been okay, right?
Yeah.
And this is typical baseball where you're like, sure, Mullins, if Mullins hits the ball like that, yeah, he's going to the Hall of Fame, right? Like that, you know, I mean, not to say that it's a Brady Anderson kind of outlier, but, you know, I go back to the Bumbrys and the Coggins, yeah, and, you know, the Jeffrey Hammonds and all of these kind of players. I did not see him as a guy that was going to be that guy. And if he did, would surprise me, but you know, there's a leveling off for all this.
Sure, no question about it. And he wasn't going to, I wasn't expecting him to go 30-30 again. And to be clear, that's not to say that I expect him to hit 230 this year either. I think he'll be fine. But my overall point is, you look at them offensively, we know how badly they struggled early on swinging the bats, you know, and they're still not swinging the bat to, I think, their capability. I think they can be better offensively. I think they will be better offensively. And I think Adley Rutschman will factor into that. He hasn't set the world on fire over his first week plus in the majors. But what you are seeing, working a lot of counts, he's seeing a lot of pitches. You're seeing him draw some walks. He's not striking out a ton. You know, so that's a good profile, especially in today's game.
Been an upgrade over Robinson Chirinos.
He has been, and Anthony Benbooms, no question. Even with him not doing much offensively, he's still been an upgrade in that way. So,
by the way, Chirinos and Benboom, I mean, I just want to say their
great names, right?
Because I don't know that, you know, if you're not watching the Orioles, Robinson Chirinos and Anthony Benboom. I'm not making it, that's two M's, Benboom. I mean, these. They're better names than like Jeff Tackett and Dave Skaggs. You know what I mean? They are.
Literally. No question. Bob Melvin. There you go.
Now, Bo Mel's made a name for himself. So, you know, I'm
not rotation. Sure. But you look at where they stand right now. Offensively, you know, they've had their ups and downs. It hasn't been anything extraordinary. You know, a couple guys that have good seasons. Santander drawn a ton of walks. He's already at a career high, which is just crazy when you think about that. But you know, the starting rotation, especially if someone had told you John Means goes down for the season after his second start, Tommy John, and you say Grayson Rodriguez isn't here yet, you say DL Hall isn't here yet, you say Kyle Bradish has had some moments but has been ugly at other times. You know, that's been statistically ugly, but up and down at best in terms of looking at it from a narrative standpoint. You know, the rotation hasn't been good, but it hasn't been a disaster either. Where they've really excelled has been the bullpen. You know, they've had one of the best bullpens in baseball so far. And, you know, some guys that you wouldn't have necessarily expected. I mean, you know, look at what Keegan Aiken has done. Look at what Felix Bautista, who, you know, started last season at single A, and look at what he's done to get to the majors and actually give them some contributions in high leverage situations. You know, Ciano Perez. I mean, they've had some guys that, you know, they've found, or guys that have been late bloomers that have done a nice job for them. Will that continue for 6 months? Time will tell. I think the bullpen, you know, for any team can be very volatile, especially when you're talking about a team at this stage of, you know, even if we want to call it latter stages of a rebuild, they're still rebuilding.
Well, so, you get Zimmerman get shoved around a little bit. You leave him in there long enough to get shoved around too.
Yeah. And there's always, what's the trickle down effect? You know, when you have some short starts, yeah, your bullpen can endure for a while. What does that mean come June, come July, come August? So
it feels to me with Zimmerman, he's their horse. They're going to give him 200 innings. They're going to give him the ball. You know, they like him, you know, as long, other night notwithstanding, and then, you know, your ERA takes a little hit on that, all that, but he's been fine, and he would be a reason I'd go to the ballpark. I want to go in at night when he's pitching because he's a local kid. You know, that still means something to an old guy like me, you know?
Sure. And that's fair. And I'd even throw Tyler Wells in there. I mean, think about that. This kid was a Rule 5 pick last year in the bullpen. And, you know, by the end of the year was pitching in some high leverage and closing some games. And yeah, I thought it was so fascinating. You know, when you consider this kid's a few years removed from Tommy John, he had the pandemic season, just like any young pitcher or young position player, lost a year of development, essentially. You know, maybe they got a little bit of work at the satellite camp late in the summer of 2020. But you know, Tyler Wells comes from another organization, bullpen, Rule 5 protected kind of guy last year. And he comes into the spring and they're stretching him out. And I thought at the time, it's like, okay, well, they're just trying to build up his innings a little bit. I'm sure he's going to pitch a little more long relief, kind of like the Keegan Aiken role that he's had this year. But, you know, with Wells, even with some of the restrictions in terms of pitch count and innings, he's done a really nice job. And he's looking like a guy that I wouldn't have predicted going into the year that he'd be a guy that I'm pointing to as someone that's going to be in their rotation. And look, I'm not saying he's going to be a number one, number two kind of starter, but could he be a guy that, you know, fills a number four, number five starter role for them for the next couple years? Sure. At the very least, he looks like someone who can be viable out of the bullpen, you know, with him doing how well he's done starting. So there've been some nice developments there, but you know, you look at this team, I would say, as much as I'm not going to sit here and you know, celebrate a 420 winning percentage, you know, through the first 50 games of the season. I will say, from an eyeball test standpoint, I do think they have been more consistently competitive on a nightly basis. You're not, Sunday's ugly loss notwithstanding, you're not seeing that nearly as frequently. You're not seeing them have to throw a position player out there pitching, which I probably just jinxed myself, and I'm sure we'll see Robinson Chirinos pitch on Thursday night or something like that.
But it feels like every other night in the sixth inning, they're winning or
they've
have
got a chance
to win. Yeah.
Right. So I guess for me, we're seeing at this point, and again, this is not talking about it in terms of the rebuild or what step of getting back to contention they are, because, you know, it's not a perfectly linear process. There's going to be ebbs and flows, ups and downs. But
one of the things I'd say, last couple of weeks, they've won these dramatic games, and then they've had these El Foldos that have been sort of historic and part of the way the organization has been, you know, fold ups late in games. And then they have walk offs three nights. You know, they've had all of that that you'd want a young team to have. And I'll tell you what, Brandon Hyde, we don't talk much about him, but the spotlight's sort of on him a little bit now, because the decisions are the difference between winning and losing. And he has some pieces now a little bit, certainly in the bullpen, to make good decisions or bad decisions where, what the hell were we talking about the last 4 years when they're getting their brains beaten in, that you move into a competitive environment? Well, I mean, look what Buck's done in New York, right? Taking pretty much other people's players for the most part. You know, you add some stuff, add a little money. Obviously, that helps. But, you know, with baseball, you never feel, you know, you feel like you're close, even if you aren't. And I'm thinking to myself, well, they're done getting number one picks, right? I mean, one thing about baseball this year is a lot of teams on a pace to win 100 games, a lot of teams on a pace to lose 100 games. The Orioles aren't one of them. You know, they're going to draft 8th or 10th or 12th, depending on where they are, maybe even 14th or something. It feels like they're done being really bad. And to your point, unless Rodriguez and Hall, their arms fall off, they'll at least scuffle here a little bit and have a chance to win. And that makes me sit up, and it makes you sit up in your car driving down from Pennsylvania a little bit more, especially in August and September this year, where you start to see players where you're like, well, this guy at least be here in 24, 25, 26, and maybe they'll figure it out. Maybe Brandon Hyde will actually be the manager. I don't, you know, I'm starting to think in those terms. Not that I've been spending any time with Mueller, but I mean, I was in his home last week, but I, you know, I'm not smelling the orange daisies, but I recognize progress when I see it. I'm not unreasonable.
Sure. And I think that's fair. And believe me, as someone who has been a Mike Elias guy overall, that doesn't mean I think everything they've done, even from a baseball decision standpoint, has been something I've agreed with. But at the same time, I think you are seeing progress from the standpoint of there's some purpose to what they're doing now. And it doesn't mean they're going out there and they're winning 8 of 10, having those kind of stretches, but it's been more competitive. They have had some stretches here where it's looked a little bit better. They've won some more series against the AL East than you look at the last couple of years, where, I mean, just how non-competitive it was. I mean, think, you know, they had lost 15 in a row against
the Rays. Well, there weren't a whole lot of 6 and 7 innings where they're losing 5-3. Most nights they're losing 7-2, right?
Yeah.
And you know they can't win. I don't know, man. When they're losing 5-3 in the sixth inning now with their bullpen, now I'd like to see them hit the ball better. To your point,
they have to
hit the ball better. They do. And I think, as we've seen around baseball, these teams that are on pace to win 100 games, they have pitching. They have real pitching, not bullpen. They have 2-3 guys going to come at you in every series that you're not going to like, and you're not going to want to see them. And Hall and Rodriguez need to be that this time next year here, right? This time next year.
Yeah, or at least this time next year, you're really hoping to see signs of that. Even if they're, you know, even if they're not guys that are Cy Young candidates immediately, you certainly want guys that are competitive and other teams are taking notice.
We also think you might be closer to 30-21 than 21-30 next year, right? Part of that would happen in these coming months, where you start to tread water instead of having an 8-20 month. Right. You know, you start to maybe be 12-14, or, you know, whatever those numbers will be over the course of a month, that you start to feel a little bit, you can see that progress as a fan much more readily than being at Costas the other night in the games on, and they're winning 6-0 early on. Or losing 6-0 early on and coming back and winning.
They did on Friday night. I mean, like I said, and you know, first of all, a strange 5-game series, because remember there was the makeup from the first week of the season. So they play a doubleheader on Saturday. But, you know, you win 3 out of 5. The Red Sox, for as much grief as they were getting early on, they had really been swinging the bats well coming into that series. And we saw a little bit of that, but we did see some, you know, a couple games where the Orioles pitched well, bullpen pitched well. So, you know, we saw Tyler Wells do what he did. So, you know, it's been good to see more of that. But I'm with you from the standpoint of, you know, what does this look like the rest of this year? And look, I still think this is going to be a team that loses, you know, even on, if I'm being on a little more optimistic, still think they're going to lose 90, you know, 92, you know, something like that.
If probably. 90 were but the number,
consider where they've been.
If 90 were the number, I would bet the over, but not with full confidence, but with enough. They're going to lose 90, but man, if they lost 87, it would be a like, that would be a monumental turnaround. That would mean they won 75. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
That,
and for me, that would mean going into an offseason now where you're flipping the switch a little bit. That's not, I'm not saying you're spending like the, I don't think they're ever going to spend like the Dodgers, whether they should or not, or could or not, you know, that's, you know, I'm not making the decisions, but my point would be your objectives in the offseason start to change, you know, dramatically, you know, if you're in that position. And, you know, let's say Grayson Rodriguez comes up in, you know, let's say he comes up in 2 weeks, finishes the season. You know, a big thing with him and Hall, and that's part of the consideration here, is they're trying to manage these young guys. And it's because, remember, they lost 2020. I mean, they were at the alternate training site at Bowie getting some time in. Some of these guys, some of them didn't even get that much in 2020.
But trained by the great Gary Kendall. I want to throw that in there just so I do that.
Absolutely. But you look at Grayson Rodriguez, you know, just to use him as one example. And Hall was a different example because he had the health issue with the stress fracture in his elbow last year. He's healthy now, you know, and we've seen good things from him. But Rodriguez last year, he pitched 103 innings. So what's your target this year? You know, the general rule of thumb in modern baseball, and I know people roll their eyes at pitch counts and innings, and I'm not saying that those are foolproof. And I think sometimes those numbers can be a little too arbitrary compared to maybe tracking player movement and arm slot and all those different things. But okay, is it 130 innings for him as a target? Is it 140 with the idea that you could kind of sort of take the reins off next year from an inning standpoint with Rodriguez, which Michael Elias even alluded to that on the last homestand, that, you know, they'd like to get him and Hall at a point where next year they're just pitching and they're not really thinking about it in terms of managing their workload. I mean, you're always doing that a little bit in this modern.
Well, you also
baseball,
want to use those innings in a year where you can win a championship theoretically, and they can win a championship theoretically, and theoretically you could be the wild card team. You know, that be that team next year, because you better be. You better be selling me on that. I mean, you better not be selling me on we're going to wait. Mr. Big is up now, and he, you know, we haven't mentioned this. Sure. He's scuffled. He hadn't been Robinson bad, but he's scuffled.
Sure.
You know,
but it's been a week too. I mean, you and I both know. I mean, we can talk about all kinds of guys who didn't swing the bat well. You know, Hall of Fame players who didn't swing the bat well for several weeks before they finally catch fire. This isn't exactly what you just said, but it's along those lines. That's where I'd like to see Grayson Rodriguez up sooner rather than later, because he does have a finite number of innings this year. You know, whether it's 130, whether it's 140, you know, whatever it is, I'd like to see more of those innings in Baltimore so he can take some of his proverbial lumps that he's probably going to take, because most young guys do. Most young guys are going to struggle at least a little bit here and there. You know, Mike Mussina, 1991, you know, was solid, but he wasn't the guy he was in 92, which was an all-star pitcher. You'd like to see something along those lines for Grayson Rodriguez this year. And then next year, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I expect them to make the playoffs next year, but I would at least say I'm looking for a team that is at the very least 500-ish, right? You know, somewhere in that neighborhood and ascending.
I'm looking for a team that's hopeful. I'm looking for a team that could go to spring training where you and I, even though they won't invite me, I could put my feet in the sand for a couple days in February and March and think, well, there's something here. There's a reason to finally go down and see a ball game in Fort Myers. Finally, you know what I mean? To get back on the wagon, as they would say, right?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, with the young players they have, maybe they go out and sign. You know, I'm not saying a $150 million free agent, but a real free agent or two, you know, some veteran players to augment what they have. Maybe they trade a prospect for a starting pitcher. I don't know. Like, I want to
steal somebody else's Nolan Arenado or something. You know what I mean?
You know, something along
somebody else's Manny Machado.
You know, we see every year when you see players start to approach arbitration, we know the usual suspects in that regard, the Rays, the A's, teams that, you know, they get to the point where these players hit arbitration, they're looking to deal them. I'd like to see the Orioles be a team that's looking to add a guy or two like that. You know, someone that, okay, is going to be a little more money, but is a good player, an ascending player for you.
Someone like Carl Kraut? No.
Yeah.
No, I'm just, you know, I'm having fun here.
Sure.
You know?
No, I got you. So, but it just, you look at this, you and I have, I'm going to pause for a second here. It's been rare when you and I have even talked in these terms about the Orioles the last few years. It's generally been in a big picture, oh my gosh, they're so terrible sense, or so-and-so is hurt sense, or this prospect is not doing what you'd like to, where him to, he's not where you'd like him to be right now. The fact that we're talking in these terms just does speak to the fact that they are making some progress. And that they're still a last place team. They're still not good, but it's feeling like there's a purpose to what they're doing now. And yet they're still going out there and they're having, you know, Kyle Bradish has taken some lumps. There's no question about that. But I can accept seeing some young guys take some lumps if they are guys that I think have a chance to be part of the future. What has been so not entertaining the last few years has been seeing the Thomas Eshelmans, the Matt Harveys of the world going out there and getting their brains beat in. And it's just, they're placeholders, right? I mean, they're going out there and they're eating innings because you need someone to throw the innings. Now you're at a point where you're, for the most part, you're sending out more interesting pitchers who have a chance to be part of the future, even if, you know, that they're not all going to work out. We know how that works. So you have that. And then on the position player side, you know, the infield is still lacking. I mean, Mateo, you like his glove. You know, is he going to hit enough? I still have my doubts there. You know, Rougned Odor has been a nice story. Do I think he's going to be their second baseman next year and beyond? No, I don't. But so, you know, they still have, you look at their lineup on a nightly basis and Rutschman being added to it.
This is where you need the JJ's and the Nelson Cruz's and where are these guys coming from, right?
Sure.
That's really what it's going to be.
Right. And that's where I'm hoping starting this coming off season, you're going to start seeing them have a strategic mind about filling that rather than where they've been the last few years, which is not spend on the major league roster, you know, spend as little as possible. And, you know, you sign minor league free agents or you bring in someone that was claimed off waivers or what have you. So
by the way, I was wrong about them giving Jonathan Scope the money. I just want to say that one more time, you know.
Hey, and that's what, you know, I mean, the revisionist history is great because there are a lot of people were thrilled when they paid Chris Davis. I mean, they were, right. And we saw how that played out. So
I remember Moeller saying, and I think there's a tweet I screenshot. If they don't sign Chris Davis, I'm done as a fan. You know, this
there
is
were
back
lots
when
of people
to,
who said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. I think I remember
lots
that.
Of people said that. So, and that's been my point. And this even goes back to the Duquette Showalter era. You and I arguing about whatever we were arguing about at the time. That's been my point so often. Yes. Do I want them to have a higher payroll than where it is now? Of course, obviously. I mean, and that, you know, that's a given, but I want them to spend smartly. I want them to spend wisely. And that's the real key. If you want to build something here and sustain it, we talk about this with the Ravens. Yeah, you could go out and give big contracts in free agency. How often do those big contracts work out though? How many times do we see the Jacksonville Jaguars spending big money? And we're talking about them spending more than anyone in March. And then they're doing it again the next year. And then they're doing it again the year after that. And then they're doing it 2 years after that. Why? Because they can't draft. And then they're trying to cover up holes. And, you know, it's just it's bad business. What you want and what the Orioles have tried to accomplish the last few years, the part of it I'm totally on board on has been to build this pipeline. Now, that doesn't mean that that's mutually exclusive to spending money when the time comes where you say, all right, we've got this position, you know, name all the positions that are covered by young guys. Let's go out and augment now. And I think you're going to see that on the starting pitching side. I really do, because that's the way the Astros did it. You know, they went out and got Justin Verlander. They went out and got Garrett Cole at one point in time. They acquired a Zach Greinke. They acquired a Charlie Morton. You know, they did those things. So I think the model here, and based on how they've drafted and developed, focusing on hitters, college hitters, I think it lends itself to saying, okay, they're probably going to have a lot more organizational depth on the positional player side. And then when the time comes, and when you're at a point where you say, we really need a number two starter. You know, even if Grayson Rodriguez is the ace, and let's say DL Hall is a really good number three starter, you need that number two guy, that all-star caliber veteran starting pitcher. Well, then you go out and deal your first round pick from 3 years. You know, I'm just, you know, throwing it out there as an example. You go and trade position, you know, these two position prospects for that pitcher. And you bring him in, and now you've solidified your major league roster. So when the time comes, they have to do those things. And that's where there's still some unknown about Mike Elias in that regard, and a lot of unknown and a lot of skepticism as it relates to ownership and how much they will spend when the time comes. So I have concerns there. But where we are in the process now, talking about where the Orioles are, it's starting to feel like you can really start seeing light at the end of the tunnel. It's just a matter of how much light there's ultimately going to be. And that's where, you know, they still have a ways to go here and still need to make smart decisions.
New windows from Window Nation are one of the best things you can do to increase the value of your home. Upgrade the look and the feel today with two free windows for every two you buy, plus pay nothing for two full years. Our friends at Window Nation, you find them at 866-90-NATION to go to windownation.com. They're sponsoring our Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have the Betty Boop scratch-offs. We'll be giving those away at Luna Del Sea before the Oriole game, 2 to 5 on Wednesday, June 1st. Kicking the month off with a delicious crab cake, I am sure. My pal Tony Asadi has been down there for, I think I had his crab cake opening day many, many years ago. I used to broadcast down there with my Budweiser friends back in the day, right across the street from Oriole Park. So always good to see Tony, my former neighbor as well, Tony Asadi. So we'll be doing that. Also, Goodwill, the wheels on the truck go round and round. You see it, and if you've been gathering your spring cleaning, now is the time to give it. Our friends at Goodwill putting people to work. We're talking about their jobs programs. Also, Junior Achievement. I'll be talking about that this week with our friends from Goodwill. All right, Luke can be found probably in Owings Mills. Maybe Lamar Jackson will be there. I think he'll be there soon, and we'll be talking about that. It's June. You know, it's baseball time. It's a little downtime for football after next week, and certainly a little bit of a travel month around here. We'll be getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road in the month of August. Breweries, crab cakes, fun. Might even be some concerts before the summer's over. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Oriole baseball and Baltimore positive.